For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we are back. And Orman, if you want to give closing comments. Pardon?
For just a little while longer.
All righty. Well, we're going to be showing a clip here, or playing a clip here, with Tucker Carlson. And this clip is about the COVID shot, and with him, you have Ed Dowd. Ed, we've had, you remember, I don't know, Pastor Hal, Ed used to be on here with Larry Nichols. We've had him on several times with Larry Nichols, and he is going to be talking. He does some numbers. He crunches the numbers. He does a lot of investigation about what you talked about earlier about this COVID. You know, we've told people 3 weeks. The 3 weeks before the very first person that took the first COVID shot, kill shots, we told people that these were not vaccines, that these were bioweapons. Don't take them. Every single lab animal that was tested died. And we told people that 3 weeks before the first shot. Well, since then, they've counted at a conservative 17 million people worldwide have died from this, from these shots, and it's increasing. And so we're going to be playing this clip. The clip could be goes on for a few minutes. So do you guys want to comment on that before we get into it?
No, I just knew that during the whole COVID business early on, I just felt like a rat in a science experiment. I could feel and tell the psychological manipulation that was taking place. And, you know, I didn't get the shot. My wife didn't get the shot. My kids didn't get the shot. And, you know, we're ostracized for it, but we're the healthy ones.
Well, let me just read you a little article here, what it says, by Ethan Huff. And Ethan says, we are officially entering year four of the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic and year three operation of Warp Speed. Tens of millions of people are now sick or dead due to getting the kill shot. And below is a quick summary of the evidence that has been covered thus far, exposing the sham known as the COVID vaccine. Well, it goes on to say how all of these doctors were intimidated. They were virtually told, look, don't ask questions, just trust the science, trust to what we're doing, we won't let you down, and push the shot. Well, now these doctors are very upset, most of them because they said, you get to push the shot or you'll lose your license. And many of them today realize that they've lost so much credibility. And many of them are saying, you know, that's enough, is no more. I don't even want to work with these big hospitals. I don't even want to be a part of this anymore.
We changed our physician and our practice and went to an independent doctor and an independent clinic because we just knew that our hospital chain and our doctor was all of a sudden, he didn't know anything. All of his medical training, all of his medical experience, he just turned into an idiot.
Well, here's what he said. He says, since every last trace of post-marketing safety due to on COVID jabs are being kept under lock and key, American physicians cannot access it to determine whether or not the shots are safe for their patients. As such, doctors have no choice but to trust the science and do what they are told. They are essentially told to do what we tell you to do. Do not question our authority or we will take away your license, writes investigator Stephen Kirsch about the matter. So So I'm going to stop there and go to Tucker Carlson and Ed Dowd, and they're going to tell us a little bit of the stats on how many people are dying. And they
can
come out.
Can I say real quick, Pastor?
Sure, go ahead.
You can look to see these scoundrels that are pushing these shots on people to make it against the law for you to refuse to take these shots someday. In other words, if you don't want to let them kill you or injure you with these shots, then you'll be breaking the law, and they can arrest you, fine you, or anything else like that. That's where it's going to come to.
Well, that's what the Biden regime wanted to do. That's exactly what they want to do. And so we're going to go ahead and go ahead, Style, and play the clip on it out. And
think if huge numbers of your own citizens start dying for reasons no one can pinpoint, that you would care enough to find out why. Of all the measurements the federal government takes, and there's almost an infinite number of those, whether or not people are alive is most simple of all. You're either dead or alive. So we know how many people have died. The question is why. Now, to give you a sense of what this phenomenon looks like, we're going to read an excerpt, a very quick excerpt from a book called Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Death in 2001 and 2002. Here's the excerpt. By 2017, around 2.8 million Americans died. 2018 was the same again. 2019, about the same again. Not surprisingly, 2020 saw a spike in deaths, smaller than you might imagine, some of which could be attributed to COVID and to initial treatment strategies that were not effective. But then, in 2021, the stats people expected went off the rails. The CEO of the One America Insurance Company publicly disclosed that during the third and fourth quarters of 2021, death in people of working age, that is 18 to 64, was 40% higher than it was before the pandemic. Significantly, the majority of the deaths were not attributed to COVID. A 40% increase in deaths is literally earth-shaking, and not only for the devastated families and communities that directly experience their deaths. Even a 10% increase in excess deaths would have been a 1 in 200-year event, but this was 40%. So those are the facts. You may not have even heard that before, because clearly they have been suppressed. Why, and what do they point to? One man who has basically dropped everything in his life to get to the answer, because it's an important question, is Ed Dowd. He's a founding partner at Finance Technologies, a global investment firm, and he's the author of the book we just cited, Cases Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. He joins us now. Ed Dowd, I'm grateful that you're here.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
And that you did this. So before, I want to spend the next hour talking about what you have found and what it means. But first, you, from what I know about you, which is limited, but it doesn't seem like the background that would lead to this kind of research. So ground us really quickly in who you are. Where are you from? What have you done with your life?
Sure. I'm a long Wall Street careerist, currently a founding member of Finance Technologies. My experience spans credit markets and equity markets. Yeah. After college, I joined HSBC, which is a global investment bank.
Yeah.
Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. I was a bond salesman for 5 years. Went back to business school. Then worked at DLJ, Donaldson Lufkin Jenrette, which is an equity research shop. Learned how things happen on Wall Street. I was there for the dot-com fraud. Right down the hall from me, I was an electric utility analyst. I saw the dot-com fraud unfold, where all the due diligence that we used to do for companies before bringing them public was suspended.
I remember.
You remember that.
Pets.com, bigger than American Express, yes.
Yeah. And then I went up to Boston to go become a technology analyst at a firm called Investment Independence Investment Advisors. And there I saw the dot-com fraud unfold in real time. I parlayed my good calls there into a job at BlackRock being as a portfolio manager managing what was then a $2 billion asset-sized large-cap growth fund. And there we grew it to $14 billion over 10 years, steered our investors through the great financial fraud that I saw and witnessed as well. So my whole career I've seen fraud. I've seen fraud over and over again. And so why is a guy like me talking about this?
It's just such an interesting background.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a public health person.
No.
Spent your life in banking, finance, Wall Street,
right.
Related.
And what we do on Wall Street is we live in the, well, at least I do, and those who are good at this live between perception and reality. So we make money when we find a reality that is not yet observable to everybody else.
Yes, exactly.
And we take advantage of that. Usually we load up on a stock before this reality becomes apparent to the herd. They have a perception that is different. And if I'm right, I make a lot of money for my shareholders and my clients. So what did I see in 2021 that really disturbed me?
So you, just to be clear, that's what you were doing in 2021.
I was trading the markets with my own personal money.
Yeah, yeah, but completely unrelated. You're just a citizen, obviously a high IQ citizen, but like not in a related business at all.
Not in a related business. But what I do for a living is notice trend changes and pattern recognition. So that's what I did my whole career. My job was to get ahead of the herd. And when I saw a trend, which usually started off anecdotally,
We do something similar. So I get it.
You get it. I mean, this isn't rocket science. You know.
But you hear someone say, like, what is this? Like, I noticed this. What is this?
Yeah. So I noticed basically in 2021, sudden athletic deaths that I'd never, you know, which I, you know, I grew up, you grew up, we all played soccer and went to high school and college, junior high. And these types of things did not occur with regularity. They were so rare that they were highlighted with much fanfare. They started happening all over the place with little fanfare, only local news stories. I started hearing of that. And then in my friend circle on Maui, I didn't know anybody who got COVID in 2020 on Maui.
Anyone who got COVID?
No, not in my friend group. I heard of people who knew people who got COVID, but not in my friend group. Then all of a sudden, people started getting COVID all the time in 2021. And additionally, I started hearing about injuries and weird things. So-and-so's uncle died. I didn't know one person who died in 2020 in any of my friends' circles, my family back home. No one. No one I knew. But then we started hearing stories of people dying in 2021 as opposed to 2020. So I started suspecting the vaccine.
I noticed the same thing.
Yeah.
Didn't know anyone who died of COVID. Knew a number of people who died after.
Yeah. Three. Yeah. And so I noticed this and I said to myself, well, I bet you if this is a problem and I'm correct, it's going to start showing up in insurance company results and funeral home results. Meaning if I'm right and people are dying above trend, funeral home stock earnings should be above trend.
And so just to be clear, you're not getting paid for this.
No. No.
You're just doing this because you're interested.
Well, I'm interested, and I was just interested. I personally didn't take the vaccine, and I tried to warn people don't get it. But, you know, no one was really listening to me in the summer of...
I did the same. But why did you... The overwhelming majority of people in your world, which is to say, you know, upper-income, college-educated, you know, white-collar people.
Right.
You literally have a white collar on right now.
I do.
Took the vax, your age. You look to be in... 50s, 40s, 50s, something like that.
56.
Okay, so we're about the same age. So everybody took the vax, but you didn't. Why? Just pause for a second. Why didn't you?
For me, a couple of reasons. First, it was an experimental novel technology that hadn't been tested on humans yet. And so I did a little research and I found that the animals didn't fare so well in these trials that they had tried before, that the research was bad. So I knew something was up there. Then secondly, Operation Warp Speed sounded like a disaster to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything Warp Speed, you know, safety corners cut. I mean, that's just...
I love the way you think. It's totally right.
And you know, I'm a guy that understands how manufacturing processes work because I'm on Wall Street and I have to understand these things. And I knew that anything rushed is, you know, writ large with errors. Then the other thing that I knew is that from my... experience on Wall Street and studying healthcare companies my whole career, it takes 7 to 10 years for a normal vaccine to be tested for safety before it's put into the arms of people. We were going to do this in warp speed time. The clinical trial only lasted 28 days. And I knew something was fishy there. So I personally said to myself, well, I'm going to wait. I'll watch what happens to other people.
Yeah.
And so I did. But then when the vaccine mandates hit in the summer of 2021 and what our current president did with the mandates and a lot of the Fortune 500 companies mandating these vaccines, that's when I said I've had it. And I literally prayed to God to be of service. And God answered my prayers when Dr. Malone came to the island of Maui where I live in October. And I was able to meet up with him and told him what I was going to do, which was monitor the insurance company results and the funeral home results. And he took my small Twitter following at the time, about 12,000, and he started to amplify my voice. And then I started getting on Bannon's War Room in February of 2022.
You prayed to God to be of service.
Yes.
What a wonderful prayer that is.
And he answered.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. And he's given me a voice. And my voice, in February of 21, I asked for people to, I said, I want to be a lightning rod. And sure enough, people answered. And I got an insurance expert from Wall Street to help me analyze the insurance results later that year. Two PhD physicists that I founded this company with are helping me analyze the excess mortality. We've written methodology papers on how to calculate excess deaths properly. We have a website called the Humanity Project at financetechnologies.com that has all the excess deaths that have occurred in Europe, UK, Germany, Australia, and the US. We have the data, we have the evidence, and there's a large global murder scene that just occurred.
Walk us back just a second. So you decide that you're going to approach this as a Wall Street analyst would by looking at the effects.
Correct.
You're going to talk to insurance companies and mortuaries, funeral homes, people who deal with the dead.
Right.
The final stage of this whole thing. What did you find? So your first couple calls on that.
Well, I didn't even need to call these people. I listened to their conference calls. I watched their earnings reports. So in the first quarter of 2022, the insurance companies reported for the fourth quarter of 2021, and they saw excess loss ratios all over the place in their what's specifically called group life policy. And the reason we focused on group life policy is because it's a business that is shorter duration contracts, 1 to 2 years. So that's, you know, insurance companies have Byzantine accounting. And group life policies reset very quickly. So we knew the losses would show up there first, and they did. And let me describe what a group life policy is. This is a policy you get when you onboard a Fortune 500 company or a mid-sized company. It's basically a throwaway benefit. When you sign on at age 25, you sign your healthcare form, you pick your PPO or HMO, and then you sign your death and disability form. And this is provided to these corporations by insurance companies. And should you die while being employed, you get 1 or 2x your salary. Or if you're disabled on the job, then you get disability cash flow payments. Well, something surprising happened to these. And by the way,
these are very low risk benefits for the company.
It's great money for insurance companies and low risk for the companies themselves, because you're not expected to die between ages 25 and 44, which we call the millennials. You're not supposed to die. It's just, this doesn't happen. Sometimes there's accidental deaths, but for the most part, you're not supposed to die. Well, something strange occurred in 2021. And while I was writing my book in 2022, a report came out from the Society of Actuaries. These are the people that do this for a living, and they surveyed 80% of the group life revenues of the country, and they found 40% excess mortality in 2021. 40%. As you read earlier, Scott Davison from One America, CEO of One America, said that a 10% rise is a once in a 200-year flood. 40% is unheard of. So something happened to that. And let me also paint this picture. The Society of Actuaries did a report in 2016 to prove what they already knew. This is a great business because people don't die. And why don't they die? Because they're the healthiest amongst us. So they did a report, and this group life policy population dies at 30 to 40% the mortality rate of the general U.S. population in any given year. So they're just healthier. Makes sense.
They're younger.
They're younger. You have access to the best health care. You're the most well-educated amongst us. So that's just a proven fact. That relationship is held. That's why this is such a good business for insurance companies, because you're underwriting something that you probably don't have to pay out. Well, they started paying out big in last year. And they also noticed that in 2021, I said 40% excess mortality for ages 25 through 64. They also said, surprisingly, the U.S. general population had 32% excess mortality. So a generally healthier group experienced a flip in outcomes. So unhealthy people, I suspect and surmise, had a choice. whereas the people working for Fortune 500 and mid-sized companies did not. So that relationship flipped in 21.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your experience with mortuaries?
Service Corp International, which is one of the public and funeral home companies, is, I think, close to all-time highs in terms of stock price. They, if you monitor their conference calls and look at what they expected, they'd expected, obviously, COVID deaths. They got a bump in business, but they expected it to come down and normalize. And they kept having to raise their numbers every quarter, saying that they were seeing excess deaths and unit growth. This is called same-store sales. Yeah. They were seeing unit growth, same-store sales, which they weren't expecting. And recently they said on their call that COVID's over. We're seeing a sustained rate of deaths that we think is going to continue. They didn't name it. They didn't name the vaccine, but business is good. Business is good.
So just to zoom out a little bit, there's no question as a factual matter that this is happening. A lot more people are dying, and it's not from COVID.
No, the facts are excess mortality has risen in 21 and 22 and continues into 23.
Now, I just want to get this out of the way early. We're sure it's not COVID. These are not lingering effects of COVID. I mean, do we know that?
Well, I'm hearing lately that long COVID is an issue. This is what I'm being told from people who argue against my thesis.
Yes.
I've yet to see a study or a clinical definition of long COVID. If it was long COVID and there's this amount of death, we should be having a national discussion about long COVID.
Right.
But the lack of one seems to be telling. And in fact, this whole issue of excess mortality doesn't seem to be something that the health authorities or global governments of the world care about at the moment. In 2020, we had tickers. We had a ticker at the bottom of a lot of these stations like CNN and MSNBC with the death count, the case count. That's all disappeared. And the numbers are staggering. Would you like to hear about the disability numbers?
Yes, I would.
So another data set that we went into in my book and we talk about a lot is U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. We know what these people do. They do the employment report every month. These are the people that report this non-farm payroll and all sorts of other interesting things. And this is a monthly survey. So this is high-frequency data. And it's what I love about this data is it's statistically imputed through a telephone survey. And what's great about this, it's not tied to Social Security claim or a doctor's note. It's people self-identifying as disabled, not able to work. So the question's asked, are you disabled, not able to work, or is someone in your home disabled and not able to work? And those numbers, prior to COVID, or before vaccines, I should say, were bouncing around between 29 and 30 million on an absolute basis for 4 or 5 years. Then in February of 2021, we started to see what we call a year-over-year rate of change growth in that number took off. And it took off so much that we noticed a 3-standard deviation event, which on Wall Street is geek speak for happens 0.03% of the time. It's a trend change. So if you imagine this as a stock, it's basing at 29 to 30 million, and then it inflects and goes like this. Year-over-year growth takes off. So where did the numbers go to? We went to a high of 33.2 million in September of 22. It's off a little bit from that, but it's still, unfortunately, trending up. Now, the good news is the second derivative rate of change has slowed, but the numbers are still bad. And we analyzed the numbers. Of the 3.2 million newly disabled Americans, 1.7 million were employed, but they came from the employed population of the country. So
tell us why that's significant.
Because the employed people of this country are generally speaking, by the very fact they wake up in the morning, get in their car and drive to work, are healthier than the general U.S. population. By the very nature of doing work, you're healthier. And that's a fact that's never been challenged before. The health outcome for the employed has been disastrous. Since February of 2021, their disability rate is up 31%. And again, I said 1.7 million of the 3.2 are employed.
Alrighty, we're back here. And those are some stats you're not going to hear on NBC, ABC, CBS, because that doesn't go with the so-called narrative out there, folks. It's every day they wake up, how can we fool them today? And that's why we're here. That's why we've been doing this, letting you know. Again, all of these years, we were telling you, we warned and warned and warned about those shots. And now here's an interesting thing. For all of these years, for many years, I've averaged doing about 3 funerals a year, okay? And in 2021, I did 9. 9. And at least 3 of those folks had gotten the kill shot. But that's amazing, isn't it? So, alrighty. So what do you have to say about all of that, you two?
Well, I'd say it's scary.
Go ahead. Somebody says.
Go ahead.
It's scary. It's accurate. Satan is alive and well. We definitely need a spiritual revival. We're attacked from every corner, every angle. If you don't know God, it's just beyond depressing. For me, I don't see spirits or anything like that, but I can sort of read, as Rush would say, read the stitches on the fastball. And, we're facing real enemy against the people. And if you just look in the news right now, the world leaders want to cut food production. They want to cut energy production, transportation, this health, the shots is hurting average people. And, the World Economic Forum and those folks, they've just had enough with us peasants, and they want to rule. And, just the spirit of Antichrist is everywhere.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're seeing that. And again, Christ said he came to give his life and more abundantly. The opposition is all about death. The Democratic Party is the party of death. But it's not just here. It's worldwide. 80% of residents in one European country think the elderly can be euthanized if their life has been completed. Now, listen to this. And I know you two guys, and I know you're in that category of the elderly.
Yep.
A recent poll has indicated that 80% of Dutch voters believe that euthanasia should be available for those who consider their lives complete. According to the English language, the NL Times, a poll revealed that 80% of Dutch voters support euthanasia being available for those who believe that their lives are complete, with only 10% respondents disagreeing. The remaining 10% of voters reported that they had no opinion on the subject. And so here, the poll comes after the submission of amendments to a controversial bill first tabled in 2020, which would enable people over 75 to request euthanasia if they feel they have a completed life. The MP who initially made the proposal, Pia Dijkstra of the Democratic 66 Party, claimed that people of old age who are suffering from life must have the opportunity to die at a self-chosen moment. Now, whose call is that? Who decides when we are born and who decides when we die?
Yep, God decides it, and what man is doing is making it optional at first.
Well, when they say, "Well, we'll let you decide," and then very soon, it's not "we'll let you decide." Here's what you decide.
Yep.
And so, and like some of these, I heard on, I believe it was CNN. One of the talking heads on there was saying how our job here is not only to tell you what to think, but why you think it. That's why we're here. And that woman believed what she was saying. Okay, she really did believe what she was saying. So Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come. Oh, boy, I'm going to tell you. I can't wait, right? It's going to happen. Hey, what does Biden have on Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, huh? Well, did you hear about the unbelievable Supreme Court temporary decision on the wide-open border? It happened Monday. We've been talking about it here, and I'm still flabbergasted over it. Well, this is what Joseph Farah has to say. In a big win for the lawless Joe Biden, the court ruled in favor of the administrative state against the state of Texas to disallow razor wire blockages of the border. In other words, Supreme Court Justices John Roberts, Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown, Sonia Sotomayor, and Amy Coney Barrett ruled that the border must remain open at all costs. The dissenting decision came from Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, and Samuel Alito. This was one of the strangest rulings to come from the court recently. What was Barrett thinking? Is she not concerned about the drug cartel having its way with the American border? Doesn't she know that human trafficking has taken place? Don't citizens have the right to make laws to control populations streaming into their country? This was the court's chance to strike a ruling that might have been the first blow against the open border in 3 years. Was Barrett confused? How could she have ruled so? It was the first time to have a reined in what is expected to be up to 10 million illegal entries into the country during Obama Biden's attack on the borders. I'm going to just leave it there, folks. I never trusted her. I had a problem with her, and I had a problem that she may have become another Sandra Day O'Connor. I hoped not. But unless she was very, very confused, she sold us out. What do you guys think?
Well, sounds like the Supreme Court sold us out.
Well, yeah, they did. There were four. Look, we know that the others, the Democrats, we know that they're all going to go communist. We know that those three women, and we know that John Roberts, especially, we know that he hasn't been with us. He's always, when it really counted, sold us out. And so, but Amy Coney Barrett, she was appointed by Donald Trump, and she was supposed to be a conservative. Remember what Ronald Reagan said of his administration? The biggest regret of his administration was, you guys remember what that was? Appointment of Sandra Day O'Connor. He says that was the biggest regret of his administration. She pretended to be one thing and turned out to be another. Do you think that's the case with Amy Coney Barrett?
John Roberts is the same way, and Amy Coney Barrett, she's been shaky on a number of votes. You know, we can't. Yes, we just can't trust people, and we can't trust what they say. We just can't rely on them.
Look, here's an interesting, some interesting, very interesting article here. This is from World News Daily, and it says, ex-sniper confirms mass vision of Jesus in Gaza, says thousands of Muslims will come to Christ. A former Palestinian sniper turned Christian believes revival will break out in Gaza and thousands will come to Christ after the end of the Israeli-Hamas war. Well, when I was in Israel, actually the strongest Christians that I met were Palestinian Christians. Taser Tass Abu Sada, a former aide to the late Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, recently told CBN News Global Lane that God's Holy Spirit is already changing Palestinian hearts through dreams and visions. I've heard about this from other sources, too, that these Muslim men are they're having visions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Muslims are looking for an alternative to Islam, he said. My team is naturally sharing Christ, so we are looking at a good revival going on already in the Gaza Strip. Well, that sounds encouraging. What do you think? What do you think, fellas?
I personally believe that the United Nations is going to take the place of Hamas over there in Gaza as a permanent peacekeeping thing, and out of that you're going to have the Antichrist come and set up a one-world government right there in the Middle East. And these things are great where you got these individuals, you know, conversions to Christ. But I think the handwriting's on the wall when you read Revelations and see what's going on. It's out of that the Antichrist is going to come.
Well, you know, the Bible talks about in the last days there's going to be dreams and visions, and we are seeing that now on an increase. And so it kind of tells us, look up, right?
I got to take a look at scripture and then hear what's going on over there. And And sometimes you try to discern whether it's authentic or whether it's another motive involved in telling people that.
Well, I've heard it from more than one source, so I'm believing. I believe that that's what's taking place. So what do you think, Orman?
I think there are always trends leading to, you know, at some point in the future. I can't necessarily say that this is it. I think that what I've seen over time is that we get a partial development of what is coming. You know, I mean, just remember when people were talking about, Barack Obama's going to be the Antichrist. Well, because he's such a slick speaker and all of that. And no, he probably wasn't. But it's that pattern that you see that develops and develops. And at the point when it does happen, it will be somebody, you know, very slick, very clever, somebody that people will turn to, and that we just see smaller images in the present that's going to more fully develop in the future. I just learned not to try to be too predictive, but yeah, the pattern is there, and let's follow the pattern.
All right, very good. Globalist Junta boasts about damaging plans being set up to block President Trump, the legitimate president of these United States, from retaking his White House seat. The Institute of Constitutional Advocacy and Protection, ICAP they're called, supposedly a professing nonpartisan institution within Georgetown University Law Center, claims to use strategic legal advocacy to defend constitutional rights and values, recently bragged about doing everything to hinder former President Donald Trump from finding his way back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. With Trump constantly topping surveys, beating President Joe Obama Biden amid the former POTUS legal battles, a loose-knit network of public interest groups and lawmakers are quietly devising plans to stop him from carrying out his political platform within his Agenda 47 policies. We are already starting to put together a team to think through the most damaging types of things that Trump might do, that we may be ready to bring lawsuits if we do. So what they're actually saying is that they're ready to commit to the highest forms of treason. In other words, yeah, they're saying, we really could care less about what 80 million people in America, how they voted, who they want as their president, huh? We'll decide whether or not your vote counts. Is that what they're telling us?
I'd say absolutely, and at all levels. You know, I know in my state, I can just, you know, I came back from a political conference this weekend. Everything is fighting against Donald Trump or the Constitution. They think they are above it. You know, they are asking for a civil war.
They're really pushing hard, aren't they? Yeah.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take one quick call here with Timothy, and then Pastor Hal, I want you to give an invocation. So, Timothy, you've got a couple of minutes because we're running up against the clock. Go ahead.
All right, no, I'll just be brief. I just listening. I can't remember the last time I called in, but I just enjoy listening, and I am paying attention every day to the things I need to pay attention to, because you need to know thy enemy and be aware of what's being pontificated. And, you know, what lies are going on and how to combat and counteract that, and to stay in the know and stay grounded in the word. And, you know, just make sure that we know our rights. First, you have to know your rights, and then you have to make sure that you make sure the rights aren't trampled on. So if you can't speak up for something you know nothing about, you have to be informed instead of afraid, and have peace instead of fear. I just can't wait for, I'm going to live each day like it's my last, and I want to enjoy all of the fruits and the blessings that he bestows upon myself and those around me, and try to be a blessing to others. In the meantime, I can't. Part of me can't wait for 11/5/24 to get here, and since he knows the end before the beginning, I know that he already foreknew whether or not Donald J. Trump is going to be there the night of November the 5th when we all lay our head down on a pillow, whether it came to fruition or not. I certainly hope it does, so he has unfinished business that he can take to the finish line. And I hope and pray that his this term, that he's taken all the information that he's gathered while he's been, you know, not at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, because the squatters have been in there, that he takes all that information and righteous indignation into the White House, so that it's not vindictive, it's righteous indignation. Those that love what God hates and hate what God loves, may they get a rude awakening from November the 5th, 2024, to January 20th, 29.
I can see a spiritual growth in Donald Trump from when he first got active in politics.
Mike Dunlap in 1987, and of all places, the irony would have it, is New Hampshire. He was in New Hampshire, and Mike Dunlap had some kind of a fundraiser or rally or something, and that was the beginning of Donald Trump being in the White House. If you go back and do a deep dive and due diligence on that, Mike Dunlap's name came up, and I'm sure Mike Gill was aware of things back then as well. And so Epoch Times, Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, and everybody else that's we know is truly on the right side of things, all of the pretenders. You know, I'm not so sure that Sean and Laura are totally on the side of the fence that they claim to be on, because I know Paul Ryan has a lot of influence over there at Fox.
Yeah, he does. Paul Ryan is a rhino. Yeah, he is a rhino.
Great. And you got the governor of Maryland, and you have the governor at Sununu. You know, it's just nepotism over there in New Hampshire, and it's rot with all kinds of evilness and moral depravity.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Keep your ammunition box full, and oorah.
Oorah, okay. Hal, take her away.
Okay, I believe that the things are getting worse as far as the government and the world and everything else is concerned, but I believe Jesus is coming back soon. I believe the rapture is going to be the next thing that happens on the world events. And if you're not prepared for the rapture, you're going to have to go through the worst time this world's ever seen. And I know you don't want that, and you don't want to gamble with your salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," John 14:6. In John 3:3, he told Nicodemus, "Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Being born again means you were born the first time physically, or you wouldn't be listening to me talk to you right now. The second birth is a spiritual birth that takes place the moment you repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, give to you the payment he paid in your place on that cross for your salvation. When you do that, Jesus comes into your heart. Revelation 3:20 said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." When he comes in, his Holy Spirit comes in and seals you into the body of Christ, and that's permanent. Nobody can ever take it away from you. Your sins are washed away by his blood, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, and it's a free gift. Jesus did all the work necessary for you to go to heaven. When he died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. In other words, God transferred your sin and mine onto his son. And when Jesus said it's finished, that means God was letting us know that all the sin, all the payment needed for us to be redeemed and go to heaven has been done by his son. But now it doesn't become ours automatically. John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." That's God's Holy Spirit. "But as many as received him, That means just knowing what Jesus did for you on the cross doesn't put you any further ahead than the devil, because even the devil knows what Jesus did for you on the cross. But receiving him means you go to Jesus and you confess the fact you're a sinner, you're lost and on your road to hell, and you want him to come into your heart and save you. Listen, I tell people all the time, you could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. Or you can get baptized so often every tadpole in the creek knows your social security number and still die and go to hell. It's the blood of Christ that washes away your sin, not your good works and not the city's water system. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows every sin you've ever done, and he's offering to come into your heart and save you and make you a new creature in Christ if you but trust him and him only for your salvation, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Call means to pray. That's you talking to God. So with Jesus Christ knocking at the door of your heart right now, and he's not going to force his way in because salvation is a free gift, but with him knocking at the door of your heart right now and asking you if you'll let him come in and give to you that payment he paid for you on that cross, if you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner, that's what repentance is, he'll do it right now. So if you do that, let's do it. Let me lead you in a simple prayer of faith. And even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. Okay, let's pray. Oh, dear God, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation to pay the price for me so I could have eternal life. And Lord Jesus, I here and now repent of my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell, believing you died on the cross and shed your blood for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." And that word "believe on" meant you received him as your Savior, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you may know. How can you know? Because God made you a promise, and God cannot lie. And God said, if you come in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart, trust in him and him only for your salvation, he's going to save you. And if he didn't save you, God would have to be a liar. And God is not a liar. That's why I know that all of you that prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, God's given you eternal life. It's not something you physically feel, but he came into your heart the moment you opened up the door of your heart in prayer to him just now. And I know myself, for example, if I had a massive heart attack right now, my soul would be with Jesus before my body even hit the floor. Because the Apostle Paul said to be absent
one minute from
the body is to be present with the Lord. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, you have 1 minute left there. Very, very good, folks. Again, we'll never do anything that'll mean as much to you. Right, Lisa?
Right.
Have you said a sinner's prayer?
Yes.
I know, and you study, you're very loyal when it comes to the Bible study. You're there all the time.
I was 9 years old at the time.
And you probably know the Bible almost as good as Pastor Hal and I, huh?
No.
I don't know. I don't know. But anyhow, I didn't get any questions out of you and style in there today. You were my students.
Oh, learning, not speaking.
Yes, we're learning.
Uh-oh, we're running out of time. How much time? Okay. Well, there you go, folks. The most important thing you can ever do, will ever do, is call upon the name of the Lord. That's real. It's not what you believe that counts. It's what God says. What God says, it happens every time. Well, we got to say this. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. God bless. And as we always say every night at this time, always, ready?
Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Lots of channels. Nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.